Greetings to all of you in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As we gather here to worship, we welcome each one to this service, and may God speak to you through His Word. This past week, on Thursday, we thought about the ascension of Jesus Christ. And that's the title of the message this morning. I want to take a look at that account. I just want to think back. I want you to travel back with me a few thousand years ago on the dusty roads of the land around Jerusalem. This group of men walking out of Jerusalem, and as they were walking, they were talking and discussing different things, and the question came up to Jesus, one of the individuals that was in this group: are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel at this time? And Jesus answers them and says, it's not for you to know the time. The Father has this in His own power. And He gave them the commission that we talked about this morning in our Sunday school lesson. And then John would say, or Luke would say, that he raised his hands and pronounced a blessing on them, and as he was blessing them, he began to rise, rose into the sky, and a cloud covered him. And I think if you and I would have been there, I think we'd have done the same thing as those disciples did that day. They stood there and they were gazing into the heavens. And I can imagine them standing there, their mouths hanging open a little bit, just trying to comprehend what they had just witnessed, trying to comprehend what they just saw. And then the angels came and stood beside them and said, you men of Galilee, why are you standing here gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus that you saw ascend into heaven is going to come again. Now that account is given to us in Acts chapter 1. Two of the gospel accounts record that in one verse. Mark says that he sat on the right hand of God, which the disciples couldn't see because the cloud covered Jesus as he ascended into heaven. Why is this significant to us today? Why is the ascension of Jesus Christ significant to the Christian and the Christian life today? We want to take a look at that thought and look at it from a couple different angles and view it in different ways. First of all, the public ascension into heaven left no doubt who Jesus was, where he came from, or where he had gone. Jesus had been crucified. He was put in the grave. 3 days later, he rose from the grave. He was alive again. People saw him. His disciples saw him. they talked with him, they listened to him teach again, and they ate with him, and they traveled with him. What would be the answer that you would give if all of a sudden this man was no longer around? Where did he go? Where is he now? If this man was so great, why did he just disappear? Jesus did not just disappear, brothers and sisters. Jesus rose into heaven. The disciples saw him go. And that is very important to our Christian life today, because the Bible tells us that he's sitting at the right hand of God interceding for you and I. And we need to remember that the importance of the ascension, even though we don't, as a church, recognize the Ascension Day like the old order churches do, and sometimes I wonder why. I'm not saying we need to keep it as a Sunday, but why do we not think about it more? I wonder sometimes if it's not one of those cases where we have kind of become lax in the importance and significance of some things in the life of Christ that we need to know about, think about, and take the significance of that into our own lives. I'm not scolding anyone here this morning, because I know myself, I didn't think about it enough. And this past week, I spent some time thinking about it, and I began to realize that if we had been there, if we had seen Jesus ascend, just rise off the ground and up into heaven, I believe we ourselves would have a different view of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I want to try and impress on your minds this morning the significance of Jesus not just disappearing, but that he's gone into heaven. He came from heaven, he came from God, and he returned to God. It's very significant in his deity. And we must understand that Jesus was not just a man, not just a good prophet that lived on this earth, but he was the Son of God. He is the Son of God. He continues to live. Before he ascended, we touched on this in our Sunday school lesson, but before he ascended, he told them that they're supposed to go and preach the gospel. They're supposed to be witnesses. And we discussed it in our Sunday school class, how he said they start in Jerusalem, and then in Judea, and then in Samaria, the area of the mixed race Jewish people who were outcasts. Yes, they're supposed to go to them. And then to the othermost part of the earth, to everyone. The gospel message is open to all. And I think as we look at Jesus here, the last command that he gave his disciples before he left this earth is to impress upon them that they are to be witnesses. They are to be the proclaimers of the wonderful news of salvation. They are to be the proclaimers of what Jesus Christ can do. They are supposed to be the witnesses, because they have received Jesus, because they have understood Jesus, because they have received the teaching and the blessing from Jesus, and because they have understood the importance of the acceptance of Jesus Christ into their lives and the acceptance of his lordship in their lives. They are now to go out and to preach the word. And brothers and sisters, that same responsibility falls upon each one of us. But the same requirements are there for us today. We need to have received Jesus Christ ourselves before we can be the witness that he wants us to be. It is important, brothers and sisters, that we understand that only after we have accepted salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ and have accepted him as Lord and Savior of our lives, can we then be the perfect witness for what he has done and what he can do for others. And Jesus gave this command before he rose into heaven. And he said, I want you to go. And then the angels, as they stood there, as the men stood there and they were gazing up into heaven, the angels came and said, why are you standing here? Why are you just gazing up into heaven? There's work to be done. The reminder that Jesus is going to come back again. The reminder that he told you need to do these things. He gave you a command. He gave you responsibility. He gave you a job to do. How are you and I faring today? Are we figuratively like the disciples standing and gazing up into heaven when there's work to be done around us, when there's souls to be reached, when there's individuals out there who are dying without Jesus Christ? There are individuals out there who are suffering the condemnation of sin and the despair and the turmoil in their lives because of sin. There's individuals around us, maybe even in our own families, who have need of Jesus Christ in their lives, in their heart. What are you and I doing today? Are we heeding the command that Jesus gave just before he left this earth, saying, I want you to be a witness. I want you to be a testimony. I want you to be reaching out. Yes, to your friends and neighbors, but to those individuals who may not be the most lovely individuals around. Reach out to those individuals who are looked down upon. Would you be willing to go to that trashy cottage in your neighborhood where everyone drives by and not even looking at it because they don't want to associate with the people that live there? Would you be willing to go there with a basket of food and the gospel message? Would you be willing to get the dirt and the filth and the stink on you as you preach the word of God to them? Would you be willing to identify with those individuals and to show them the love of Jesus Christ and to offer to them salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ? The Great Commission in Matthew says, I want you to go. And the thing that impressed me is that Jesus says, after he gives that command, he says, I am with you always. Jesus doesn't want us to go by ourselves. We can't do it by ourselves. Jesus wants us to go in his power. Jesus wants us to go with him. Jesus wants us to go presenting him to the world. He doesn't want us to go and say, see, look at me. You know, this is what can happen when Jesus comes into somebody's life. You know, they become a good person, you know, like me. It's not what Jesus wants us to do. Jesus wants us to take the word of God to them, He wants us to take the gospel. He wants us to show them hope and salvation through Jesus Christ. He wants us to lead them and direct them and guide them, preaching and teaching, so that they may understand that there is hope in this life. There is salvation. There is a way to find peace and rest. Brothers and sisters, how are we doing this morning? How am I doing? Am I going about my life from day to day, serving myself? Am I going through life taking care of what matters to me? Or am I willing to give up an hour or half a day or a day or a week to minister to people that need the Word of God? Before Jesus ascended into heaven, he said, "I want you to go." Are we going? Am I going? The importance of the ascension is the fact that Jesus wants us now to be witnesses while he's gone, while he's not here physically. He wants us to preach and to teach. And he wants us to remember that it's important that we do it now because he's coming back. I think it's significant that Luke records in very short detail what he then expounds on in Acts here, but in Luke, in the Gospel, he says that he walked with them and they went out and they went as far as the mount, and then he raised his hands and he blessed them. And as he was blessing them, he rose into heaven. Brothers and sisters, I don't know what that means to you, and maybe I'm letting my mind run a little bit, but as I think of Jesus raising his hands and pronouncing a blessing on his disciples, I think of the fact that the last thing that he did while he was on this earth was give his blessing on the men that had traveled with him for the 3.5 years that he was ministering to people. He was blessing them with his blessing. He was giving them God's blessing through him onto their lives, onto their ministry, onto their witness for him. We sometimes talk about a parting blessing. We do that at the end of the service. We have the benedictory prayer, and we pronounce a blessing upon the people as we part. Jesus did that in a very real way as he left this earth. Brothers and sisters, this morning, that blessing can rest upon each one of us as we allow the Spirit of God to lead our lives, to direct our lives. That blessing that Jesus pronounced upon his disciples, I don't know what it was. We have no real recording of the blessing that he gave them other than the words in Matthew where he says, "Lo, I am with you always." Jesus is not leaving us. He talks about that, and we want to take a look at that in John 14. He says, "I'm not going to be leaving you. I'm not going to be leaving you alone. I'm going to send Comforter." But as he pronounced that blessing upon his disciples, I don't know what his disciples thought. But I do know that they were astounded when he began to rise and disappeared into the sky, into the clouds. And I don't know how many times after that they thought about that blessing, but brothers and sisters, this morning, as we go through life and as we face situations that maybe challenge our capacity of thinking and reasoning and mental powers, or maybe we face situations in our lives where we face individuals who are antagonistic or individuals who ask questions about God's word that we don't have a ready answer for. Do our minds go to the blessing that Jesus Christ through his word has pronounced upon each one of us as his children, that he's not going to leave us or forsake us? He's going to be with us. He's going to be giving us words to speak. He's going to be directing us through the Holy Spirit that comes from the Father that he prayed upon each one of his disciples. When you face situations in your life that you don't have answers for, do you think about the blessing of God upon your life saying, I'm with you. I'm here for you. You're not in this alone. You don't have to face this by yourself. Remember when I left this earth, I said, I'm going to be with you all the time. You and I today can cling to that same promise. Jesus isn't here. He's not walking among us. He's not here sitting among us this morning. If he were, I wouldn't be up here. But Jesus is with us through the Holy Spirit. The blessing that he pronounced upon his disciples is a blessing that each one who accepts his blood as their salvation and his lordship as their guide for life is blessed in that same way. You can turn in your Bibles to John chapter 14. I want to take a look at a few verses there. Referred to that just a little bit earlier. But I want to take time to read some of the verses here, and I'm not sure how many verses I should read here. I'm going to begin reading at John chapter 14, verse 18. Jesus speaking here, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. And I could go on reading to the end of the chapter, but I'm not going to. Jesus here is pointing out the different ways that even though he has ascended into heaven, even though he is sitting at the right hand of God, he's not here physically with us. He is here present with us yet. He says here, yet a little while, and he's talking to the disciples, yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. He's talking about the time after his ascension. The world's not going to see him. He says, but ye shall see me. And I guess we might have the same question if we wouldn't have the rest of the passage of scripture here. We might have the same question that Judas had. Well, how's that going to be? The world won't see. You're saying the world won't see you, but we will. How's that going to be? How's that going to all work out? And Jesus goes on to say that if you love me, And then he interjects this, "If you love me, you're going to keep my words. But if you love me, the Father will love you also." And he says, "We will come unto him and make our abode, our dwelling place with him." Brothers and sisters, this morning, Jesus told the disciples that if he doesn't go away, the Comforter cannot come. That's here in John as well. I didn't take the time to read those verses, but Jesus was here in person, and he was with certain people at certain times. But he says, if I don't go, if I don't ascend to my Father, the Comforter cannot come. Brothers and sisters, you realize that Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to be the Comforter, to be the indwelling presence of himself and God in each one of us. Just take some time to think about that. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. Jesus sent him into this world. The Father sent him. Jesus prayed that the Father would send him into this world to indwell, to abide with each one of us. And that is, I believe, how Jesus says here, that we will come and make our abode with him. The very presence of God in the heart of the believer. Think about the reality of that. That's not just a myth. That's not just something, a fable or a nice story. But it's reality. You and I, as Christians, as followers of God and Jesus Christ, as obedient to his word, can have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. That's why he says, that's why Paul says, you are the temple of God. And we're not supposed to defile the temple, because God is dwelling in us. God is present in our heart and in our lives. My mind can't fathom all of that. And yet, as we think about it, as we contemplate it, as we meditate on it, the reality of that can be awe-inspiring, and yet it can be inspiring us as well. He abides in those who love him and obey him. There is a criteria to meet. As we sit here this morning, have we opened the door of love and belief so that the Spirit can enter? Or have we slammed that door shut in unbelief and in rebellion and in selfish pride? The Spirit will not force the door open. It's for us to open to him. We would be remiss if we would not look at the second coming of Jesus Christ in relation to his ascension. The angels in Acts chapter 1, verse 11, said this same Jesus is going to come again. Brothers and sisters, this morning, as you sit here, think back. In your mind, think back to the last time that you actually thought about the possibility of Jesus returning now. Think back to the last time that you even thought about the return of Christ. Brothers and sisters, it's a reality. Jesus is going to return. He promised he would. He has kept every promise. He's going to keep that one. Are you thinking about it? Are you preparing for it? Is it real in your life? Or is it some abstract thing that, oh yeah, well, yeah, he's going to come sometime, but not today. Why couldn't he come today? Turn in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Very familiar words here. But as I studied this ascension of Jesus Christ and thought about his coming again, I could not get these words out of my mind. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, begin reading at verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Brothers and sisters, just think with me for a moment what it will be like when that trumpet will sound. Jesus will come through the clouds. The graves will be opened, the dead in Christ shall rise, and we're going to rise with them. And we're going to meet the Lord in the air. And we can have that hope and that assurance that we're going to be with him forever. Do you fear the time when the trumpet is going to sound? Or do you look forward to it? Verse 18, wherefore comfort one another with these words. And that word comfort has a dual meaning. The original Greek word is to call near or to invite. Brothers and sisters, that is what Jesus commanded the disciples to do. Go and invite the people. Go preach to them. Tell them that Jesus is coming back. Invite them to the kingdom. Invite them to be one of the individuals that is going to rise to meet the Lord in the air and forever be with the Lord. Put the invitation out. That's our responsibility. The other side of that word is implore or consolation. Are you burdened with the cares of this life today? Are they pressing down on you and you can hardly see beyond the hurt and the pain? You can hardly see beyond the troubles and the trials. Brothers and sisters, there's comfort in the knowing of the fact that the Lord is going to return and we're going to be with him forever in the glories of heaven. And we can say with Paul, I can't imagine that the glories of heaven are even worthy to be compared with the things that we suffer in this life to attain to them. Are you willing? Are you willing today to suffer for Jesus so that you can live with him in eternity? Let's kneel for prayer.